Now, the workforce has changed dramatically in the last few decades. Some baby boomers might remember working at the same company for most of their careers or maybe their entire career.
According to a LinkedIn study, job hopping is the new normal for people under 32. Millennials are expected to change their jobs about four times after graduating from college.
Our next guest says the rise of the, quote, quitting economy says more about employers than about younger workers. Alana Gershon is an associate professor of anthropology at Indiana University and the author of Down and Out in the New Economy, How People Find or Don't Find Work Today. Alana, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much for talking with me.
So I feel like there is a fair amount of anxiety over the current state of the workplace. A lot of think pieces are coming out about how millennials are changing the landscape as it is right now. You know, how much, let's just put it out there, how much more likely are people to quit their jobs today than they were before?
I think people are strongly encouraged to do this. And I have to say that in my study, I didn't find this to be only the case for millennials. I did a survey of around 380 people who were over 45, and most of them have had over four jobs in the past 10 years.
So perhaps it's a little bit overblown with millennials, is what I'm hearing you say.
I think what I'm telling you is that employers are encouraging everyone to have this attitude.
And so what led to the rise of the quitting economy?
So what I think happened is that people began to pay much more attention to shareholder profit, and they began to try to imagine companies as being geared only towards providing for shareholders and no longer providing for a local community or for the workers that they have. And when you put that focus in, you need as flexible and fluid an employee, a workforce as possible, and you need to be able to fire people as easily as possible.
Okay, so we're talking about the sort of maybe a shift to looking to shareholders. For those of us who might not have ever worked in that sort of pre-quitting economy workforce, what did it used to look like?
People really tried to encourage company loyalty. And at the argument in my book is that people also imagined what employment was like differently. So they imagined that they owned themselves as though they were property and they were renting themselves for a particular period of time. And then in around the 1980s, there became a shift in how companies were viewing things and also a shift in the metaphor. And people began to imagine themselves as though they were a business, that they were a bundle of skills and assets and relationships and qualities and experiences that they were consciously managing as though they were a business and constantly enhancing. And as a result, a employment contract was a business-to-business contract and also a very temporary one.
And so are there any maybe drawbacks to this move of the sort of more inward, the me incorporated look versus the way it was, you know, maybe 30 years ago?
There are so many drawbacks. Where do I begin? There are drawbacks for the people who are working in this way because they live much more unstable lives. And there are drawbacks for the employers because they don't retain or nurture people who in their company who are repositories of knowledge, who know how things have gone 10 or 20 years ago and maybe have gone badly, and so that they can prevent those kinds of mistakes in the future.
We're talking to Alana Gershon right now. She is an associate professor of anthropology at Indiana University and the author of Down and Out in the New Economy, How People Find or Don't Find Work Today. So I'm going to put it out on the table. I graduated from college in 2008, right when the Great Recession hit, kind of took the first job I could get because I feel like there was a fair amount of anxiety for people my age who thought that they might not be able to get a job. You know, we're the millennials. I'm going to just come out and say that that is what I am. Have been sort of tasked with being job hoppers at this point, or this belief that they're job hoppers. Do you think that there is some maybe anxiety from employers that people in a certain age bracket might not be around for a long time, and that might be exacerbating this?
Well, certainly where I was doing my research, which was in California, in kind of Northern California in the Bay Area, employers expected that. It wasn't something that they had anxiety about. They thought that this was how things worked. And they were also encouraging their employees to do that. And even managers were doing this. So managers would take employees out on their first week and say to them, well, I know you're not going to be at this job for very long, so let me help you get as many of the skills as you need in order to get the next job.
And so how would that benefit a manager then if they are going to have turnover in their workforce?
Well, the managers don't stay that long either.
Sure.
I mean, I don't know how it, I'm not quite sure how it benefits a manager for that, but I think that's now understood what it means to be a good manager. I mean, part of the problem with this system, of course, is that managers are constantly having to battle how they divide up tasks in the workplace in a new way, because people want to practice new skills and learn to do the jobs that are going to learn to do the skills and the tasks that are going to let them get a job at a next place. So they don't want to be too committed to the intellectual property of that company, and they don't necessarily want to do maintenance work that won't seem flashy enough for them to get a job somewhere else. And so managers have to kind of bribe the workers and tell them that they have their own best interests at heart as well, and that they are going to help them develop these new skills. I mean, that doesn't mean that that's, like, this is what managers say. I'm not sure that's what they always do. I just want to be clear about that. This is just now the language that people are using to understand what it means to work in an office.
Sure. So does it seem sort of, or maybe you can't answer this, but that there might be some talk versus how maybe there's an actual feeling, so not playing out the way that it's maybe coming out from managers?
That could be possible. I really studied the hiring ritual, so I'm basing this work on what other sociologists have discovered.
All right. Well, we are talking to Alana Gershon. She is an associate professor of anthropology at Indiana University, and we're looking at why companies today are seeing higher turnover.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Are you living in the quitting economy? Do you take a job with the assumption that you're only going to be there for a couple few years, or do you want a career, a company where you can go there out of high school or college or early on and maybe stay there, maybe till retirement? If you're on the other side of this, a manager or an owner of a business, what are you seeing from your employees? Do you want to see them stick around longer, or do you see them coming and going and that's just the way it is?
Well,
call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page.
And of course, we'll continue this conversation in just a bit here on Central Time.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. We're continuing the conversation with Alana Gershon. She is an associate professor of anthropology at Indiana University and the author of the book Down and Out in the New Economy. We're looking at why more employees, especially younger employees, are moving to new jobs with more frequency.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is this you? Have you moved from job to job a lot, out of choice, out of necessity? Would you rather stay in one place for a long time? And again, if you are on the other side as a manager, someone who hires people, do you expect high turnover? Would you like to see people stick around? What do you do to try to make that happen? Call 800-642-1234 or post on our Ideas Network Facebook page.
Now we're going to go to our callers right now. Derek in Eau Claire. Hi, Derek.
Hello.
And what did you want to say?
I was just going to say that a lot of the employers out there, I just don't think are offering as much to the employees to make them stay at a particular job.
All right. Well, Derek, thank you so much for that call. So, Alana, there's a sort of a talk of incentives. Maybe benefits aren't as good at places. Maybe employees just don't expect as much. You know, how can employees, I guess, maybe work that to their advantage?
Well, I think part of what they're doing is by choosing the jobs that they're going to take with an eye to what the next job is, right? So when they're deciding what job they want to apply for, it's with a mind to quit already.
And do you see that maybe this leads to better salaries if they're maybe, I don't want to say resume padding a little bit, but if they're always kind of looking to the next thing?
Hopefully. I mean, the idea is that you cannot get decent raises at your own company, and so you're going to have to, in order to get the better raises, you have to move to the next job.
All right, well, we're going to go to another caller, Ben in Waiowiga. Hi, Ben.
Hello.
And what'd you have to say?
I work for a factory. I do a lot of hiring, and one thing that I've noticed personally is with some of the younger millennials, I don't think they have a work ethic. I don't think they're coming from a place that maybe some of our parents came from where, you know, you're kind of told, you know, this is what you kind of should be doing, and I don't think they're following that path. We hire a lot of millennials, and our turnover rate is quite high, and they don't want to do just the basic factory work. You know, they're always looking for something next, and that's something that we battle on a monthly basis.
Ben, thank you so much for that call. So we're hearing from Ben, who is a manager at a factory, mm-hmm. who's saying that what's actually something that they struggle with, that they don't have people that are willing to stay long term. I mean, maybe there are some sectors that this quitting economy might not really work for, it sounds like.
I think that's very insightful. And I think the question then becomes, can Ben at his factory begin to offer incentives that make it worthwhile to stay at the factory for longer? Is the job doing as much as it could do for the people who he's hiring?
Yeah, and I think that might be something that a lot of places are considering maybe moving forward, just if there is a bigger push to move to a more turnover-proof field, I guess. There might not be many. We're going to go back to our callers right now. Rhonda in Sheboygan. Hi, Rhonda.
Oh, hi. I was just wondering if your guest, her opinion on the decline in unions resulting in a decline in wages and benefits. There's no incentive at a lot of these jobs, factory jobs, restaurants, wherever, with no unions. They're always looking for a better pay, better benefits. Why would you want to stay at a job that's not, you know, paying what you're worth?
Rhonda, thank you so much for that call. So Rhonda brings up this interesting point that, you know, maybe 50, 60 years ago, there was a stronger union influence in a lot of industries, maybe even in a factory setting, too. Do you see sort of that going hand in hand?
Absolutely. I think that this is part of what happens with the metaphor of everyone is a business, is that you stop seeing a division between the people who are the managers and the people who are the workers in such a way that you can argue with for strong unions. I think it's precisely the philosophy that underpins this metaphor that helped get rid of the unions in the United States and created this problem.
And so you're referring back to that sort of look at companies going more towards shareholders. And I believe that you actually wrote about an example of that with airline employees. Can you talk about that for just a quick second?
Oh, that was just a news item that happened this summer that really surprised me, that American Airlines wanted to pay their workers more because they were no longer giving them competitive salaries. And Wall Street had a fit about this. And their stock prices plummeted because Wall Street felt that American Airlines should only be putting money into the shareholder value, and paying staff was not the way to go.
And so that sounds as though sometimes that can be a weird decision for companies to make, that they can't please everyone, either their workforce or maybe their shareholders. So we're going to go back to our callers right now. We have Jeff in Onalaska. Hi, Jeff.
Hi there.
And Jeff, what did you have to say?
So I'm just wondering, I know that HR has been changing to try to adapt to the millennials entering the workforce, but do you think there's like any, for lack of a better term, reverse bias against some that are on the cusp of those ages? So like my example, I'm 35 and I apply for jobs and I'm qualified, but then I get a lowball offer from HR. And is there some of this, well, we're going to give them a low offer because we don't know if they're going to stay because they fit this quote-unquote definition of a millennial based on their age?
Well, thank you, Jeff, so much for that call. And I think there is a fair amount of anxiety over, you have millennials in the workforce, you have baby boomers in the workforce, you have Gen X in the workforce, and sort of navigating what some people see as ageism, that the older you get, the less employable you are, whereas you have younger workers who might not seem as though they want to stick around as much. You know, is there a balancing act there?
There's constantly a balancing act, but I really have to kind of wonder how many people are getting these lowball offers. They may just be giving lowball offers regardless of what the age is, to be quite honest. I mean, they're trying to get the cheapest worker that they can get.
Because it affects their bottom line if they can basically hire someone cheaper, sounds like.
Right.
So let's go to James in Oshkosh. Hi, James.
Hello.
What do you have to say, James?
My question kind of pertains to the idea that there's more transparency with wages nowadays. You can see what a given position through, like, Glassdoor.com might be from a bottom end to a top end, and then how that wage might progress if you stay in that job title or job for a while. And I think what some people are seeing is that you can stay in that job position for 2 to 10 years, and your salary is only going to increase so much.
Right.
All right. So quick response, Lana, as we wrap up, what do you have to say to that?
I think that's part of what's encouraging the quitting economy. I think you're absolutely right that the problem is that in order to get a better salary, you're being encouraged by your company in a million different ways to find a job at another place.
Well, Alana, thank you so much for joining us today.
It was such a treat. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Alana Gershon is an associate professor of anthropology at Indiana University and the author of Down and Out in the New Economy, How People Find or Don't Find Work Today.